Welcome to the podcast. Here we explore ambition, well-being, and impact, and we dive deep under the surface level tactics so that you can build a freedom-focused business on your terms. Hi, I'm your host, Annalise Warne, an agency CEO, business strategist, and coach, as well as a wife and homeschooling, traveling mama of four little ones. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational business leaders, as well as practical marketing and leadership strategies that you can action right away. So let's get into it.
Hello, welcome back to the show. So today we are going to dive in to business metrics. And the traditional business metrics are not the only business metrics. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how my business has transformed in this last financial year, the changes that I've made. Some of you will know that I went from running two agencies and a coaching company and really leaned down that, got rid of one agency, really slimmed down the other agency, and have expanded on doing more coaching. I have halved my working hours, and in that process, I have doubled my profit over the last 12 months. So I want to talk about exactly how I have done that so that you can potentially apply some of those things yourself. Okay, so the first thing that I did was get really clear on the metrics that mattered to me, because you cannot create anything unless you know where you are going, right? You can't actually create what you want if you don't know what your goals are. And I know I say this a lot, but I think a lot of us are not actually, we don't have the clarity around what it is that we want. And sometimes we're going after things that we used to want, or what we've been trained to want, or what other people are doing because that looks great on Instagram, but we're not really thinking about what is our deepest, truest desire? What is our purpose for being on the planet? What is the meaning of the season that I'm in and what that actually brings? So for example, myself, I know that in 15 years, I will be likely, what I think I'll be doing is running some sort of international business academy that is impact driven. So helping grow businesses that are impact driven, but in a more structured global way, a way that requires me to travel and work. And I cannot do that in that way that I imagine doing that and pour myself fully into that vision of this, you know, global socially conscious business while my children are young. And I know that the steps that I'm taking now are leading there. And what I'm doing now is an online virtual version of that, but I imagine something a little bit more structured, more, you know, actually where people can get qualified with a diploma or a degree or something. Again, it's off in the future. I don't exactly know what that's going to look like, but my point is that I know that that's not for now, that dream is not for now, given my family circumstances right now. My children are between 2 years old and 10 years old. We are homeschooling. I want to be there for them. I don't want to work full time, but one day I'm sure I will be happy to work in that more capacity and have that as my business baby when my babies are grown. And so I have also fallen into the trap in the past of comparing myself to other people and knowing that they're at a totally different life stage, or they have different priorities in terms of the you know, how they're choosing to parent or how they're choosing to educate their children. And all of that is beautiful. I think that's amazing that we get to choose that, you know, if we have the privilege to choose how we want to educate and live and balance and structure our lives. And I know that I am immensely privileged and blessed in to be able to run my life the way that I run it. And that means that sometimes my business is growing slower than I would like it to, or because I love business so much, but I don't spend the majority of my week on my business because I want to spend the majority of week with my children, and that's what I choose. And because I'm choosing that, the trade-off is the business grows slower because I have less time to spend on it. But that's my choice. And sometimes that can be frustrating given like where I want to be and things I love to do and how driven I am and all of that. But I know that that's what I've chosen, and that I wouldn't actually be happy pouring myself fully into my business because I've done that before I made the mistake. So all of that to say, really know what you value. So for example, a success metric in my business is that I get to work 2 to 3 days a week and my business continues to grow. That is a metric. That the joy and the peace that I feel is a metric. So it's not just bottom line profit. Yes, you are running a business. You have a responsibility to grow your business, to continue to sow into it. As a good steward of your business, you are expanding your profit margin. You are expanding the profit that you have. That is the role of a CEO. Now, can you get to a certain point in business and say, this is where we're staying? Yes, totally. But your responsibility is that profit margin. That is your role, right? If you choose to have a business, you look after the health of the business. That is the job, is to look after the health of the business and make decisions that benefit the health of the business. That doesn't mean that the health of the business means a $100 million company. The health of the business might be a $150,000 company because that's what you choose. But maintaining the health of that $150,000 company is your job, or whatever number you choose. Maintaining that, sowing into the health of that, whether that means growth or sustainability or, you know, whatever that means for you, again, you choosing that. And so including that as a metric, yes, but not having that as the only metric. Having, you know, maybe sleep as a metric, maybe fitness as a metric, maybe, you know, the amount of, I don't know, like you get to choose what your metrics are. For me, it definitely has to do with how calm I am, my relationship with my husband, the time I get to spend with my children, the flexibility that I get, you know, being able to choose to do fun things on weekdays, like all of those things are metrics. Also profit, because the more profit I have, the more I get to give back. The more profit I have, the more I get to do have experiences that me and my family love and grow into. And we have this goal now of in 2025, traveling the world, continuing to work and homeschool our children. And so that now is the goal, is finishing off our house. We own and built our house. We're still not totally finished. There's things that aren't done. So our goal now is profit driven. Yes, because we want to finish the house. We want to set it up to Airbnb it. We want to travel. We want to do a 1 year world trip. And so knowing what your metrics are and why, and having them unique to you, and fiercely going after those things that are true for you, regardless of how logical they seem, regardless of how achievable they seem, just as long as it feels like your mission, go after that. So know what the metrics are. So how did I then half my work hours but double my profit? And I know it sounds really convenient that like I halved and doubled. I actually probably nearly tripled the profit. It was more than doubled, but I'm just simplifying and being conservative in the statement. So number one is after the business metrics, I got clear on the offer that was going to get me there. So what are the offers that are going to get you to your goals? Now, I did a podcast on this, on the irresistible offers. So go back to that if that's where you're at. But ultimately, it should be an offer that is high value to your client and include things that are low cost to you. So examples of that are content that you record once that people can consume multiple times. They are things like you appearing for a 1 hour live class, but multiple people can come to them. They are things that you already have created. They are connections that you get to, facilitate those connections. What are the things that your people want that are easy for you to provide? So another example might be like a social media audit, for example. If you already have the team that do that as part of your business, then can you offer that as part of what you're doing? What are those things that are high value to your customer but low cost to you? All right. The second thing that I did, so I'm talking the business metrics, I'm talking about that as just a general, making sure we know where we're going. But in terms of actions, I got clear on my offers, low cost, high value. And I started saying no to requests for my time. So I am naturally very generous with my time. I will help people. I will jump on the phone. I will offer value. I love helping people in this space because these are things that come really easily to me. We talked about high value, low cost, like business strategy, marketing, all of that. It comes so naturally to me now that I've been doing this for, 6+ years. It's something that I love to do, and I love helping people see breakthrough. And I have in the past said yes a lot to helping people that I know, to, just doing things for free. For example, at one of the universities here, I'm a mentor, and I would jump on the phone with students regularly to support them in, different career decisions and things like that. So lots of things like that. I'm on the board of different charities, and I just got really selective around where I was going to say yes and where I was going to say no. And so I started saying no more to requests of my time outside of the things that I had decided, because ultimately we can't do everything. And just because someone say this to me the other day, just because I would work for free doesn't mean that I should. And that's true, right? And I'm not talking necessarily about working for free, but we cannot do everything that we would like to do all at the same time in terms of projects. Our energy and our time is finite. And so choosing and being really selective around what you would like to sow into and choosing those things that are going to give you the best profit, give you the best outcome in terms of bang for buck, right? So for example, if I am going to sell an offer, then what is the offer that is going to give me the most profit, right? If I am going to sell something, it's going to be the same amount of energy to sell something that is has a low profit margin that has a high profit margin. And if I design it right, it's the same here. I could give my time to a nonprofit and offer them support, or I could offer support to, my neighbor's cousin, right? Which one is actually going to have the bigger ripple effect? And so choosing those things based on your values and priorities and choosing how you spend your time and saying no when things don't align with the impact that you want to have, because ultimately we can't be everywhere at the same time. All right, number three is I gave notice to clients who were outside of this, right? Outside of the mission that I know I'm here on the planet for, or clients that I was already over delivering to, and that had become an expectation. So I closed the books on clients that I didn't want to serve anymore, that was just a chapter. So there wasn't animosity there. It was just that I realized that they were outside of where I could have the biggest impact, or we were over delivering and it was going to cut down work hours and things by giving notice to those clients. So that's what I did. So I mentioned that I shrunk the agency. That's how I did it. I chose the clients that were either the lowest profit margin or the highest energy drain, or just, you know, not totally lighting me up in the way that I want my clients to. And a lot of my clients, most of my clients now, all of my clients do. So that was number three. Number four is related. I stopped any unpaid scope creep and I started charging for additional small projects. So again, I'm generous to a fault with my time, with my team's time. And there were things that we were doing that would be, you know, requests that would be added on that we would just do and not worry about charging for. Again, just because it is low cost to you and high value to them, just because it's low cost to you doesn't mean that you don't have to charge for it or you can't charge for it. And so that is, all of these little things add up, right? When we move things by 1%, it over the long term, it ends up being a lot. It's the analogy or that visual of, you know, flying here to Japan. If the plane is 1% off the entire time, you're not going to end up in Japan. You're going to end up in the middle of the ocean, right? It's the same thing. So that's what we did. Stopped any unpaid scope creep where we were doing things or adding things in, and we started charging. So when someone said, "Can you do this?" we'd be like, "Yes, of course. This is going to be the fee. Do you want to go ahead?" And I know so many of our service providers are guilty of this. We want to over-deliver, and there is definitely space for that, but we over-deliver in quality and customer service rather than adding additional things, just doing things for free just because they come up. All right. The next thing that we did was consolidate roles. So our team was quite broad. Everyone has quite specific niche roles. And what we did was got rid of some of those based on getting rid of other clients. Like when we exited clients, we were able to exit certain team members. And we were also able to combine roles so that people went from part-time to full-time and just other changes like that. So maybe I was paying, you know, $50 hours a week for two staff members, whereas when we combined them, given the changes with the client load, we were able to make that more like 35 hours. And so we were just really more smart around the structure of the team, because what I had done was to hire people. And what you do when you're trying to in that growth space is you hire people and you hire them before you're ready to hire them. And so what that means is maybe you hire them full time, but you only have part-time work available for them at that time. And so the load is shared, there's training, there's all of that included, but we're not really optimizing their time all of the time, because you can't run a business at capacity. You can't grow. There's no space for new clients if they're all at capacity. It just doesn't work. You need space in there for them to be able to do that. And so that's what we had done. But making this decision to not continue to grow the agencies, but actually close one down altogether and consolidate others, meant that I knew that we could work every person to capacity based on the amount that they wanted to work. And so that's how we consolidated different roles. As a part of that, we were also removing underperforming team members. Now, I love to hire team members that are junior and train them up, because in the space of marketing, it's a space where everyone has their perfect vision, like their strategy, whereas we have an agency for construction, and we worked in our VA agency primarily with coaches, consultants. And so we have internally strategies that we know work because we've been doing this for a long time. We know how to grow a coaching company. We know how to grow a construction company. And we have a formula for those things, and that's what we use. We use the formula. So by bringing in someone who was a higher level marketing executive, their ways of doing things don't always align with the ways that we are always doing things. So I love to hire people that aren't attached to their own vision of what they'd like to do, but are more willing to come under the leadership and come into the system that we do. Yes, of course, there's room for creativity and innovation within that, but ideally getting someone who is a little bit fresher to the industry and willing to learn, then that's the type of person that I was after. And so given that, they're always, and new team members are always going to be like this. Anyone you hire, actually, regardless of level, is probably going to underperform initially because they're learning, they're getting to know the role, they're getting to know the clients. And so there is time and space for that, that we allow for that. As in that growth period, you know that that's going to happen. You build that into the profit. You hire when you're ready to cover that financially. And you have the support in place to be able to allow them to grow in the company, knowing that within 3 months, say, that they're going to be performing and bringing in the revenue that they need to be bringing in, or supporting the revenue, that revenue growth. So given that we weren't in that growth phase anymore and the roles had changed, we were able to remove any underperforming team members because we didn't need to anymore invest in their growth, given that the goals of the company had changed. So I know that all of that kind of sounds a little bit harsh, and when you're talking about team members, then there's the personal impact of that, and that that is really hard, and they're really difficult decisions to make and really difficult conversations to have. But that is our role as leader and CEO, is that we need to be able to have those hard conversations, because it is not our job to provide work for people. That is not the job of the CEO. There is a point in my business as well, not in the last year, but where I was taking on clients just to pay wages. And that is not the role of the CEO. Like I mentioned back at the start, the role of a CEO, your job is the health of the business. That is the responsibility. And if that means that you need to have difficult conversations to team members, then that is the decision that you need to make. They're the conversations you need to have, and that's the ramifications of that. Does that mean then that you just cut them off and leave them high and dry? Definitely not. I definitely believe in hiring slow and firing quickly, meaning that if you know someone's not a good fit, you're going to know pretty soon. In this case, that wasn't the case. It was just that the goals of the company had changed, and the growth trajectory of the company had changed in terms of what sides of the business we were growing. So it was more of a redundancy kind of situation. So in that case, you have those conversations with those team members, and you set them up, you know, with a long enough runway that this is what we're doing in this time period, and these are the steps that I'm going to take to support you in that, and here's the referral, and, you know, all of that, and you find out how you can support that person through that. That being said, you do that with the clients that you let go as well. Like, we didn't just go, okay, we're not working anymore. We set time frames in place for saying, okay, by this date, we're going to reduce our services to this. By this date, we're going to reduce our services to this. And so allowing them to get the support, because we're in the service-based business, which means we give a crap, which means that we're going to look after the people that we have in our sphere, whether they're clients, whether they're team, whatever it is. Again, making sure that we aren't changing what we're doing in the business to please other people. It all has to stem from what is the purpose of this business for me and my family and my community and, you know, my purpose for being on the planet. And then having those goals and everything else fitting in line with that. You are not here to please other people, and people pleasing is costing you money. It was costing me money, and it is likely costing you money if that is the space that you are at. So don't let a difficult conversation be the thing that keeps you pretzeling yourself into, you know, what other people want you to be. That is not why we are here. And it's really easy in the service provider, service-based space to do that. I have been there. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's stressful. And that's not why we create our business, right? We create our business for freedom. And if we lock ourselves into this prison of performing for other people and growing other people's businesses rather than our own and contributing to the happiness of other people's lives, not our own, well, that is not something that we should be willing to do. So that is what we did. The next thing that I did, let me see what number this is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The seventh thing. So we're going to talk about 8, 9, 10 things. Seventh thing that I did was I upsold my current clients. So I repackaged what I was offering them. So some of them we raised prices, some of them we got a little bit more clear on the scope creep that I was talking about and saying, okay, well, if this is actually what we're doing, well, then we're going to need to charge this much for the package ongoing. So three biggest clients ended up being upsold in their packages. And so that meant that we were doing the same amount of work, the same amount of hours, but we were getting paid what we should have been getting paid the entire time. So that was what I did. I don't think I need to say more about that. We just changed their packages. And again, had conversations around that, had negotiation around that, had emails back and forth, set a timeline for when that was going to commence. Like, this isn't just a bomb dropping, and everything was still fair and reasonable, right? And everyone was happy, because business should be mutually beneficial. And if you're doing great work, you should be able to raise your prices and change your packages aligning with the goals that you have. Again, we don't need to people please. We don't need to be afraid of losing clients. If you lose the client that is ultimately making you get paid less than what you're worth, then that is fine. You can find a client that is going to actually, you know, get you to work less and earn more. And I understand too that that can be terrifying as part of, you know, if you need that, you're relying on that income. Like, part of this process is I got rid of 40% of my income. And so that was scary. That was scary because I was like, okay, if I delete this, it's like, that's 40% of what we're earning. Totally. Like, oh, that's really scary. And then hoping that everything else falls into place, but just trusting that if you're making these decisions in line with your gut, in line with you, the overall vision, and you have trust in yourself that you know you can go out there and make it happen, then that's what you need to do. At the same time, maybe it's shifting gears slowly, right? Shifting down on one and shifting up on the other. So saying goodbye to one client at a lower level, going to get a client at that high level. And then again, shifting down one, shifting up one, shifting down one, shifting up one. It doesn't have to be, okay, total deletion and here we go. And because I'd put transition periods in place, I knew I had that transition period to up the income where I needed to up the income. So find the way that is less stressful for you, but make sure that you don't let the scariness of that stop you from doing what you know actually needs to be done. All right, the eighth thing that we did is increased our automation, which I didn't think was possible, but totally was. So if you don't know, we have Freesio, which is our all-in-one marketing, sales, and client management system. You can check it out at freeceo.tech. And so we increase that automation. We also use ClickUp for our backend project management type of things. So we just really, given the new structure changed, we were able to automate a few more things that weren't possible with the larger team. And so we did that. That's a bit hard to speak to broadly, but how can you use technology and automation to streamline processes, to take out working hours? Is it in relation to like onboarding specifically? That's normally can be really helped along by automation. Have a chat to me, book a call if you'd like to talk more about that, annaliseborn.com/consult, and we can talk about how you can use automation in your business. Now, number nine is I created a simple marketing strategy and a sales schedule. A lot of people, what they do is they create the marketing plan, but they forget about the sales plan, or like that's the bit that drops down, because the easier, funner part is to create content. What we actually need is to bring money in the door. And that can be the uncomfortable part, where we're putting ourselves out there, where we are putting ourselves, you know, in the face of potential rejection. Again, we may be having hard conversations with clients or with, all of that space where we're putting ourselves out there and we open ourselves up to rejection can be scary. And if something is scary or uncomfortable, we can procrastinate and not do it. I know you feel me. So many of us have these tendencies. It's just human nature that we try and avoid the pain of that. And so it's just about separating ourselves from the outcome of it and knowing these are the steps I have to take to grow my business, and already setting yourself up going, okay, great, I have to go through 99 no's to get a yes. And it probably won't be 99 no's to get a yes, but if you have that expectation, then you're prepared and you know that that's part of it. And it helps you to go out there and have those conversations and begin building relationships with the three relationships types that we want to be building with clients, potential clients, with referral partners, and with collaboration partners. So what is the sales schedule? What does that look like for you? Is it relationship building? Is it launching? Is it advertising? Like, what does that sales schedule look like? Is it making cold phone calls? Is it like, what is it? And then number 10, I worked the plan, right? It's fine to have a plan. It's fine to actually, you know, have a strategy. But if we don't do the small, consistent daily actions, it's not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. It's not going to actually come to fruition. It'll just be this plan, this 10 dot point thing list that you have, that you have written on your whiteboard or on your calendar or whatever it is. But it's actually getting up every day, regardless of how you feel, and ticking off that next thing on the list and moving towards it and sending that email and having that conversation and, you know, putting our big girl CEO pants on and doing the hard things and showing up and doing the work and not getting distracted by what everyone else is doing, but knowing that, okay, this is where we're going. The best way that I know to do that is through a 12-week plan. I believe we've done a strategy session on that in the podcast, so have a look for that. I will pop it in the show notes as well. I don't know what episode that is off the top of my head, but creating a 12-week plan where you know that you have a couple of projects to run, and then you know through each one of those projects what steps you are taking every week for that, and planning our week in advance is an incredible way of actually getting things done. So that's what I did. Now, on the flip side, on the other side, like at the top of the mountain now, it sounds easy, right? I can say I just got clear of my offers and I just started saying no and blah, blah, blah. It I can reel it off in a 10-point checklist, but it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy because I am at heart a people pleaser, right? And I hate letting people down. And I also love my work and I love, love, love helping people. But again, I had to, and we have to do this at every level. At every level, it feels anew, but I had to step into that role as leader. As leader, and as a leader, you go first. And as a leader, that means that you are getting the arrows. You are the one getting bashed by the jungle as you like fight your way through with the machete. So it is about putting our CEO pants on, and maybe CEO heels is better. CEO heels, and stand in your power. And make the decisions that you need to make for your business. That's what I had to do. I had to step into my role as leader. I had to put my CEO heels on and I had to stand in my power and make decisions for my business. And as service providers, we can so often make everyone else money at the expense of ourselves. Right. And that's what I was doing. I was making everyone else money at the expense of myself, you know, scope creep, not charging for small projects, over delivering, all of that. They were benefiting and I was sacrificing myself for that, or my team for that, which is ultimately sacrificing the business and the health of the business. So what I did is I really lent into simplicity and how I wanted my business to serve me in this next chapter, knowing that we were going to homeschool our children. So knowing that we were going to homeschool our children, I knew that the structure of the business had to change, and leaning into the simplest, easiest way to make that happen. And for me, reminding myself when I was going to have those difficult conversations, reminding myself that I was letting my business, if I didn't change anything, then I was letting my business to steal time and energy away from my children, right? I was giving my energy and my time to my business instead of my children. And that cuts deep, right? That hurts. And it's not that I felt like that in the moment, right? I loved what I was doing. I just realized that I was sacrificing profit. And by saying yes to clients, saying yes to requests for my time for free, I was saying no to my kids, which was actually the opposite of why I started my business, actually the opposite of everything I was trying to achieve. And so that at the center hurts. And again, we're humans. We try and move away from pain. Therefore, those difficult conversations, those difficult actions are made easier because they're less painful than the thing that we're trying to move away from, which in this case was not being in integrity and alignment with my values. So again, this wasn't to the extent that I felt resentful, but I realized if I didn't make the change now that we were homeschooling, that I would be resentful. And so that was the impetus. Now, that is generally what it takes for us to take action, right? We have to have something that hurts in order to make the change. So let's not do that, right? I hope that this can encourage you to take action before it gets to that place. Take action before it gets to that place. We don't want to have something so crazily painful that it makes the difficult business conversations easier. Right? You don't want it to get to such a boiling point that it's like explosion point, or this is what has to happen. So let's think about these things from wherever you're at. Like, think about these things from wherever you're at. And if that means that things are just a bit uncomfortable, or you can see that it's not going to work ongoing, then great. Then do that. Right? Then start to make these changes now, and don't wait for burnout. Don't wait for catastrophe. Don't wait for, you know, the weight of the stress to get to the point where you can have these conversations. So we want to make these decisions because we want to make these decisions, not because we have to make these decisions. Now, as a result of doing those 10 things, where I am now is I work 2 to 3 days a week, 2 days, and then sporadically throughout the other days. I homeschool 3 days a week. I have clients that I love, and business and life are full and beautiful and messy and glorious, right? Like, life is this great melting pot of chaos, and it's perfect. It's the perfect balance for us in this season right now. And I want you to hear what I'm saying there, because there is no perfection, full stop, but there's also different seasons for different things. Like, there are seasons for this structure that we have right now is not going to work forever, and that's okay. And the structure, the system that I had when I had a newborn or newborns at different points was different. It had to be different at that time. And as my kids grow up, it'll have to be different. When we travel, it'll have to be different. When my kids are grown, it'll be different. And so allow, as business and life evolve, as you grow as a human, as a woman, as a CEO, allow your business structure to change, and let's not be fixed in on something that we used to want or something that we thought we should want. Allow yourself to change your business and change your mind, and don't let that people-pleasing thing that I know so many of our service business owners have keep you in a system that works for everyone else and not for yourself. So I hope that this encourages you to take the reins on your business and your life and stop saying yes when you don't want to say yes. So decide what you want. And yes, you have the right to change your mind whenever you want to. And remember that people-pleasing is literally costing you money. And thank you to Lauren White for that quote that slapped me in the face so many months ago. So go do the thing. Make it simple and go deep, not wide. I'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. 2 things before you go. If you have loved this episode, please grab your phone to subscribe and review the show. And if you are ready to make a power move in your business, book a free strategy call with me, and you will walk away with a 3-step action plan and a new fire in your belly. Book your call at annalisewarn.com/consult. The link is in the show notes. Have a fabulous week.